Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. Blessings of Liberty is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I'd like to take a moment and invite you to come to any or all of our services. We have multiple opportunities to visit throughout the week. We have what I would call a normal schedule. On Sunday mornings, we have Sunday school at 10 a.m. for all ages. And then we have at 11 a.m. our Sunday morning worship service. Every second and fourth Sunday night at 6 p.m. we have a Sunday night service. And then every Wednesday night at 7, we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. And so we'd love for you to come visit with us. If you are in the area of Boone, North Carolina, and you do not have a church home, we are just a few miles outside of Boone. We would invite you to come. We'll make you feel welcome. College is getting ready to start back up, Appalachian State University, and we want to extend a special invitation to the students. We have also college age classes on Sunday morning. We have the Collegians for Christ, or CFC, ministry as well out of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and so lots of opportunities there. We are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. Baird's Creek is just below the Tomato Shack on 105 South. Probably you've seen that beside the road if you take that direction any. And then just below that is Baird's Creek Road. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. Noah will come at the end of the broadcast and give our contact information. But before we go any further, I do want to say hello to Noah. He's here helping us today. Noah, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina, those who are listening in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and also those listening in on KPGT 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
Thank you. I appreciate you mentioning that. And I also have another announcement that I want to make, and this is concerning the fall semester of the Victory Bible Institute. We've been able to teach over there in times past and then consecutively for the past several years. And I just think it's a wonderful opportunity to study God's Word. You know, not everybody that is called into the ministry can just uproot, leave home, leave church, leave job, and move off somewhere to go to school. And Victory Bible Institute is designed for pastors, laypersons, Sunday school teachers, deacons, young people, whoever is interested in studying the Word of God and getting a college level education. Victory Bible Institute has a 3-year program. And the wonderful thing about it is you don't have to wait for 3 years to roll around before you can get involved in it. You can jump in anywhere along the way. And if you make the 3-year circuit, when you get back to through the 3 years, you'll be done. Now, this semester, this fall semester for our satellite schools begins August the 21st. And Mount Lebanon Baptist Church has a satellite school. That begins August 21st. The residents, they start August 14th. We have at Mount Lebanon, I'm talking about, every Thursday night at 6:30 until 9:20. There are 3 classes. And what our satellite school does, they just come into the fellowship hall there. They watch the previous week's lessons. We've got a big screen or a projector, projects it on the wall, and you can see the instructors there, and it's just like you're sitting in class. They've got a wonderful setup there. And so we'd love for you, if you're interested, to come and visit or find out more about Victory Bible Institute. Fall semester, the classes are New Testament Survey Part 1, Dr. Tull Oaks, the Book of Romans, Brother Kenneth Forbes, Pastor Kenneth Forbes. He's the pastor of the Blue Rock Baptist Church. And then the last class of the evening is Kingdom of the Cults, and I'm the instructor there. So if you're interested in that, you can call the church phone. I'd love to talk to you, give you more information. It's 828-963-4596, or you can go to the vbcministries.org website. You can sign up there, find the prices, the books you need. All the information is on the website, vbcministries.org. Now, we've taken a few moments to talk about that, but it's very important, and many preachers, many local pastors have been helped by going to Victory Bible Institute. Well, we've been studying the Bill of Rights, and we're going to move right along in that, the Bill of Rights. Last week, we looked at the Eighth Amendment, and let me just read that again. And I said this last week, I'll say it again today. The Bill of Rights was designed and incorporated. The Constitution was not ratified until the Bill of Rights was accepted. It was a all or nothing deal. You want the states to ratify the Constitution, the states want a Bill of Rights. And so they got the Bill of Rights along with ratifying the United States Constitution. And it's very interesting. Now, I had never read or studied this before until I got into this study, but the preamble to the Bill of Rights, it talks about the people, what they wanted, articles in addition to the amendments of the Constitution of the United States. They wanted further protections against their government. These people did not trust their government. Our American system of government is not based upon trust. It is not based upon giving Congress or the president a blank check and saying, just go out here and do anything you want to. No, we the people are to be involved. We the people are to ask questions. We the people are incorporated into the Bill of Rights protections against a out-of-control, tyrannical government. So we're to keep a check on the government. Now, the Eighth Article, which we spent last week talking about the Eighth Amendment or the Eighth Article. I use those terms interchangeably. But the Eighth Article is a protection against a tyrannical government. It says this, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. All of these things are designed to protect the citizen. Now, we want to go on to the Ninth Article today. The Ninth Article says this. It says, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Now, I want to look at that. This is another short amendment, and I want to explain what that is talking about. It says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights. Now, the word enumeration, when it has that word there, enumeration, it's just the act of counting or telling a number by naming each particular. So the enumeration or the telling or the numbering or the naming of particular rights in the Constitution shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. What they're saying is just because in the Constitution you have certain rights that are mentioned, that does not mean that is all of them. That does not mean that the government can come along and say, later on, oh, well, you didn't mention this, so we're going to take this right away. The Ninth Amendment is designed as a protection for the future. Now, if you sit down and study and think about this, how much wisdom went into the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, there's a lot of wisdom in there. There was a lot of thinking about the future. Now, what's going to happen out here in the future? They said, we'd better put something in there to make sure that the government doesn't come along later on and say, well, this wasn't mentioned, so you don't have this right. The Ninth Amendment is designed to protect us from things they hadn't even thought about yet. Now, me, as far as coming from a Christian viewpoint, and I believe in the providential hand of God in the formation of our country, I believe it was the Lord that gave them the wisdom to pre-think about the future. In fact, when they were working on the Constitution, it was Benjamin Franklin that stood up and said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And he never even claimed to be a born-again believer, but he believed that God had a hand in the forming of nations. So we appreciate that, and we acknowledge that as well. But the Ninth Amendment, when people talk about the Ninth Amendment, and it's not one that you hear mentioned very often. Now, the First Amendment, people know when you talk about, they may not know everything about it, but freedom of speech, freedom of religion, they'll associate with the First Amendment. The Second Amendment, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. A lot of people may have that one memorized. The Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. People know about that. The Fifth Amendment, talking about being put in jeopardy. You cannot be compelled to be a witness against yourself. And so people are more familiar with some of these other articles than they are the Ninth. But when the Ninth Amendment is discussed, it's usually under the heading of what is called implicit rights or implied rights. And when something is implied, it may not be listed, it may not be enumerated, but it is implied along with the other rights. That word implied there, it means fairly to be understood, that people would understand these things. Fairly to be understood, though not expressed in words. For example, when the Ninth Amendment is discussed, you will hear talk about the right to privacy. Now, the right to privacy is not mentioned in the Bill of Rights. It is not talked about in the Constitution or even the Declaration of Independence, but it is, let me just give this for an example, it is implied in the Fourth Amendment, where it says the right of the people to be secure in their purses, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. So there is implied there a right to privacy. Your home, your house should be a castle. Your papers, your effects, in this day and time, your cell phone, your email, your mail that you put in the United States mail. How would you feel if you were writing letters, even to a pen pal or your grandma? How would you feel if you found out that the post office had been opening your private letters and reading them? Why, you would be appalled. You'd say, this is not right. That is private. What if you had I hadn't written a letter actually in a long time, but when I was in the military and I was in basic training, and later on I was in the country of England, and my wife was still here in the United States, and we were writing letters. Boy, you know how long ago that is now. But we were writing letters back and forth. That's private. You wouldn't want anybody reading your letters. But you know what? We have that very thing going on today with the NSA, the National Security Administration, reading emails, knowing who you're calling on the cell phone, how long you're talking, all of these things. This is an invasion of one's right to privacy. You should have a right to privacy. It is implied along with the other rights. You should have a right to freely associate with whomever you want to have the friends that you want to. You should have the right to travel freely in this country. These are implied rights. You should have the right to presumed innocence. These are implied rights. This is implied in the sixth article, that you would have a speedy and a public trial. You should be presumed innocent until found guilty. Well, that's many times today, that's turned upside down. If you're assumed to be guilty until you prove yourself innocent. So the Ninth Amendment is under the heading, we might say, of implied rights. Rights should not be understood as you and I being able to do anything we want to do. That is not a right. You don't have a right to do anything that you want to do. You may have a right to keep and bear arms that we find under the Second Amendment. I believe in that. I believe your individuals have a right to keep and bear arms, to defend themselves, a right to self-protection. But just because you have a gun does not mean you have a right to just shoot it anywhere at any time in any direction. There's a responsibility comes along with ownership of a firearm. You have to be responsible with that. If you take that and you harm or potentially harm someone with that, your right can be revoked. But you don't have a right just to do anything you want to with that. With rights come responsibilities. A right is not, I can do anything I want to at any time that I want to. That is not a right. A right is not being able to get anything that you want or have anything that you want. Rights are not the same as privileges. Many things today that are put across as basic human rights are actually just privileges. For example, health care is a privilege. It is a privilege that a person has that can buy it, afford it, wants it. You know, it's not a sin not to want health care. In fact, I have found out, now things are all up in the air, but and things are changing every day, but you know, I found out that things are cheaper if you do not have insurance in the past. I forget, I went to buy something one time, and with insurance, my goodness, it was awful. But if you didn't have insurance, it was $8 or $10. It was an antibiotic, some little nothing. It's not a right, though, to have health care. It is a privilege to have health care. It comes with a price. It costs something. Immigration, coming to this country, is not a right. It is a privilege. Now, I am all for people coming to this country. If I lived in Guatemala, if I lived in Mexico or Honduras or somewhere like that, I might want to come to America too. But if I want to come to America, I need to come legally. I need to come the way the law prescribes. That is a privilege to be able to do that. You say, I don't agree with you. Well, you cannot just go to Mexico under your own terms. You couldn't go down there and just show up, sneak across the border, and say, "Here I am, accept me," they'd probably put you in prison. In fact, that has happened in the country of Mexico. American citizens go down there. They get in fact, I think there used to be a television show, Locked Up Abroad or something like that. No, if you want to go to another country, it's a privilege. And you have to go according to the way they say for you to go and for you to work and for you to have a visa and be there. So rights are not just you just get to do anything, have anything. That some people get those mixed up with privileges. One way to think about it is like this. One person's rights end where another person's life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is affected. And so we think about that. Now, all the rights are not mentioned anywhere. There may be rights yet undiscovered. And so the founders, they realized that. Even if you go back to the Declaration of Independence, the second paragraph, now, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that's a good place to start. But look what they said. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." That unalienable, it means non-transferable. This means that God has granted to each and every man certain rights, and they are unalienable because they come from God, not from government. But then it says this, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So these are not all the rights, these are just some. Among these is what it says, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. What is the purpose of government anyway? It is to secure these basic God-given rights. That is what the founders and the framers understood when they were talking about rights. Our American system of laws and government, if you study historically about this, they are based on Bible laws. They're based on Bible principles. And the gist of the Bible, the emphasis of the Bible and the laws in the Bible, they are positive. They are positive laws. They are not negative laws. Well, somebody says, "Well, boy, the Ten Commandments, they sure sound negative to me. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet." Boy, those sound negative to me. But do you know what? They are actually positive laws. They are positive because they are protective. They are protective of everybody. This is something that everybody ought to agree on. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. That's protective of everybody. That is protective of the whole of society. That is a positive command. It is liberating. The emphasis of the Bible is liberating, not restrictive. Somebody said, "Oh, there's so many laws in the Bible." Well, evidently you've not kept up with what Congress is passing year after year after year. There are thousands, multiplied thousands of federal laws. And then on top of that, you have multiplied thousands of state laws. Then on top of that, you have multiplied thousands of local laws. In fact, you can be breaking the law and not even know that you're breaking the law. But it is not like that in the Bible. The Bible gives us the example of being liberating and not restrictive. If there is a restriction, if there is a command against something, it is there for a very good reason. It is there to protect somebody else, or it might be there to protect the individual. But the emphasis of the Bible is on liberty. And that's why I love liberty so much. It is a Bible doctrine. We say this every time we come on the air, Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Back at July 4th, I was reading the comics page, and I know that our regular listeners, you probably know already that if I don't read anything else, I'll read the comics in the newspaper. And one of the comics had that, and it had inscribed on our Liberty Bell. And it had that very verse, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. I wonder how many people don't even realize that that is a Bible verse. It had no recognition of that being a Bible verse. It ascribed it to the Liberty Bell. But that verse is from the Bible, Leviticus 25, verse number 10. Here is a good example. If you go back to the book of Genesis, Genesis means beginnings, and you go back to the creation of mankind, and you go back to God in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made Adam, and he made Eve, created them, put them in the Garden of Eden, paradise upon earth. Now, did God give Adam and Eve 100 laws to obey? Did God give them a big long list of laws and say, now go over there and don't do this and don't do this and don't do this? No, sir. One thing, one command God gave to Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 17, God said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God told Adam and Eve, he said, go into the garden. You can eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden. You can go out there and have at it. God told Adam and Eve, go, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. God said, there's just one thing I'm telling you not to do. There's a tree. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God said, I'm going to tell you this one thing not to do. And I'm telling you for your own good not to do it. Because if you do it, you're going to die. That is the emphasis of the Bible. The Bible emphasis is the most liberating option that mankind has. The Bible emphasis is this: give up wrong. The worldly systems, the communist system, the socialistic systems of the world says, give up your rights for the good of the whole. Come under all these multiplicity of laws. Let me read quickly. Our time is quickly coming and going today. But a summary of the Communist Manifesto. Well, if you get a hold of this, you'll see how far removed we are in America from our founders' original ideas. The Communist Manifesto represents a misguided philosophy which teaches the citizens to give up their rights for the sake of the common good, but it always ends in a police state. This is called preventive justice. Control is the key concept. And here is 10, if I can get through them. The abolition of private property. Heavy progressive income tax, abolition of all rights of inheritance, confiscation of property of all immigrants and rebels, a central bank, government control of communications and transportation, government ownership of factories and agriculture, government control of labor, corporate farms, regional planning, government control of education. Where are we in America today? We're a long way down the wrong road. Well, God says, proclaim liberty. Our time is quickly coming gone today. We sure do appreciate our listeners. We hear from them quite often, both near and far. And we're thankful that you listened in to the old paths or to the blessings of liberty today. Have a great day. Noah's going to come give the contact information. God bless you.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty right here on AM 1450 WATA. Brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located in Vilas, North Carolina. Our contact information, if you would like to get in touch with us, is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. This has been Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone.